Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone today is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well, and we had a great meeting last night. Thanks for having me. I hope everyone out there is staying safe.
For sure, and we're going to get into COVID in just a little bit, but to start off the interview, we have to talk about Keystone. As we saw last week, new U.S. President Joe Biden officially rescinded the permit for the project on his first day in office. Just to start off, your thoughts when you heard that news?
Yeah, totally disappointed. And when I saw the reaction of the Canadian Prime Minister and the ambassador to the United States, it just reinforced how disappointed I was. So at last night's council meeting, one of the things we did was debate a motion that I brought, really talking about those issues, saying that we want a strong, supportive government, federal government, for our oil sands industry, and we want a pipeline strategy for this country. You know, it just makes Trans Mountain all the more important. We don't want to have to rely on another country. We're at the mercy of that other country in every election, as we've just seen. So let's get our own strategy going for this country. And that was the part of the focus of the motion. Mm-hmm. I do expect the federal government, though, and our ambassadors especially, to support our oil industry and all the people that benefit from it. There's not just Albertans, not just people in my region and our region, but people all across Canada benefit from this incredible economic engine up here. And we've been supporting the rest of Canada for so long. And when challenges arise, suddenly everybody turns their back on us, which is not what we want to see. It's time for every level of government to support this oil sands industry. And, you know, if you're going to get the benefits of it, stand up for it. Defend it.
What was it about their reaction that maybe brought up some issues for you? As we know that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has stated in the past that, you know, he has supported the project. So what was it about his reaction that, I guess, didn't sit well?
Yeah, there was absolutely no reaction that would send a message to the United States that we have a problem with this. And certainly the ambassador to the United States said, well, it was a decision by the United States, we just have to live with it. Now, that's not an exact quote, but that kind of approach is not sending the right message. It means that we are, we're not taking the same approach as we do with other industries in Canada. You know, that's well documented. We need the support, as so does every other industry, but we need it as well, and we're not seeing it. Mm-hmm. So what I really believe we need to do is focus what we can do, and that's Canada-made solutions. Let's not rely on another country to get us to Tidewater. That's why Trans Mountain is absolutely essential to get into place. You know, this has been going on way too long. These pipeline projects that take decades are it shows you that the system is broken when that's the way things get approved. Mm-hmm.
We've heard that Premier Jason Kenney has been calling on the federal government to potentially look at tariffs if the U.S. government, you know, doesn't meet with the federal government to at least discuss the project and maybe ways to continue it. Is this something that you support?
So, Premier Kenney is a great ambassador for the oil sands. So if he sees that as a step that he believes will make a difference, he served in the federal government. So anything that will apply pressure, you know, I really believe we need to take a step, though. Just sitting back and taking it when you know, our social and economic recovery and the future of the oil sands is at stake. So I really believe we need to make sure that we're doing all we can to support our energy industry. And if our premier thinks that that's a useful step, then certainly, and he's always been supportive of the oil sands, so we want to see that continue.
So you brought up Trans Mountain a couple times, and this project is different from Keystone, that it's entirely in Canada, from Alberta to BC, trying to access tidewaters out on the West Coast. It has gone through all of its regulatory approvals. It's been appealed in the court system countless times. So are you confident that this project will be moving forward? Or is there still, you know, some concerns after seeing what happened with Keystone?
You know, it's met its own set of challenges in the past, but at least we're not at the mercy of another country and the mercy of elections. And we've seen what that can do. Basically, we've been back and forth like a yo-yo in the United States, so we can't count on any consistency down there. But there's a lot of options. There's Trans Mountain, there's Enbridge Line 3, there's Energy East. There's options for Canada. We just need to start a strategy that's going to make sense and get it in place. You know, the oil sands and the oil industry generally is a big part of the Canadian economy. Let's support it in the way that it needs to be supported. You know, it's very obvious to the people in Alberta, and I think the people in my region, certainly, in our region. But what we really need is the federal government and every other level of government across Canada to get on board with this. You know, the people in their regions benefit one way or another, whether it's transfer payments in the past or whether it's the economy generally or people that benefit in this region. So they need to start recognizing that and supporting this region. They just can't put their head in the sand every time that there's challenges to the oil sands.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103 Points today. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mixed 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about the latest setback to the Keystone XL pipeline project. If you're looking for more information about that, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, you guys did have a council meeting yesterday, and one of the things that you guys move forward is keeping the regional mask bylaw in place. This despite having the province already introduced their own health order for making sure that people across the province wear a mask. Maybe just to start off with, why administration was recommending that we keep both in place, well, obviously our bylaw in place, and I know this is something you also supported.
Yeah, they can both coexist. There's very minor differences between the two, and it gives our bylaw a full range of options and more access to the bylaw folks who can do this. If we took away our bylaw, then the people who act as enforcement in our bylaw department, there's not as many of them that can enforce the bylaw. So we haven't done enforcement. We've really been all about it in education, but you know, we don't want to start creating confusion either. And Edmonton and Calgary maintain theirs. We don't always have to do what everyone else is doing, but I think it sends the right signal that we're going to review this as soon as the province drops theirs. I think it's fair to say, and it's fairly obvious that we would, but right now we're headed in the right direction, so there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
So, like you mentioned there, and we heard from Councillor Jeff Peddle yesterday, potentially removing the bylaw would just cause some confusion for residents, whether they can wear a mask or if they have to or not. But isn't keeping both of them maybe a little confusing for bylaw officers about whether which one to enforce if they ever have to, you know, deal with a situation?
No, it's pretty straightforward. Where there's any conflict in the rule, the province prevails. So that's a pretty simple approach to take to things. And our bylaw is pretty well versed in it. And as I've said, the real approach they've taken is to educate people. So I'd rather see people comply voluntarily. We don't want to start seeing people get fined. Let's just, what's really going to be the key, I think, to our economy going forward is getting these numbers down. That helps the economy. It helps everyone open up. The reality is we still have 126 cases. We all need to support local businesses going forward. One way you can support local businesses is by doing your part to contribute to getting these numbers down. The sooner the numbers are down, I'm sure the province will start making shifts to all the lockdown measures that they've put in place, because we're sick of it. I'm quite frankly sick of it in every conceivable sense. I'm hearing messages from small business owners every single day. We're going to go out of business, quite frankly, if this continues. So we need to get these numbers down and do our part to comply. And this is just one element of it, as the province has a, you know, I would describe the province's mask bylaws stronger than ours. And if they see fit to remove it, then that would be a pretty big signal for us to remove ours, I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of small businesses, you know, we've recently had a chance to chat with the Fort McMurray Chamber of Commerce, who are obviously concerned for businesses as this second so-called lockdown continues. As you mentioned a couple times already, our numbers are going down, which is great news. I know we were in the high 200s a few weeks ago, and now we're getting close to 100 cases active across the RMWB. Do you think maybe it's time that maybe the province start looking at different regions that maybe aren't as hard hit and start saying, all right, you guys can start easing your restrictions. Maybe some businesses can start reopening instead of waiting for everyone to get their numbers under control?
Yeah, what I'm afraid of is there won't be an economy to reopen if this continues. So I support that kind of an approach, as opposed to a uniform approach all across Alberta. There's lots of concerns I have. One of them is these variants that we keep seeing about in the news. And obviously a fair number of people work up in this region from other areas. So that's one concern. The other concern I have is the province has only really started to signal what the triggers are for them to remove these rules. Is it the number of cases? Is it the transmission rate? Is it the number of people that are vaccinated? How can anyone plan? I think there's a lot of people who are just feeling totally hopeless at this point, because we don't know when it's going to reopen. There's no target date. There's no sense of how we're going to win this fight, except that we know we're headed in the right direction. But what's the triggering point to get rid of these rules? So one thing I would encourage the province to do is to tell Albertans what it's going to take to start reopening. We can meet the goals if we know what they are. We're obviously all very keen to do it, and we want to see our businesses thrive and survive. I'm just very concerned the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be. And as I said, I'm concerned about the economy and how much the economy is going to be left as businesses shut down. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about the vaccine delays, and we need to make sure that the GOA and the federal government's doing everything they can to get vaccines readily available for all who want it. And because it sounds like the way the other levels of government are thinking is that's going to make a difference in getting things back to normal, which is the long-term goal for everybody. We all want that. It's probably a short-term goal for most, including me. Mm-hmm. We want to get back to normal as quickly as we can.
We know that around 100,000 vaccines have been administered so far across the province. Has the municipality been given any data from Alberta Health Services to show how many of those have been administered up here?
No, I've reached out. One of the issues we've had during this entire pandemic is we have had a lack of information from Alberta Health Services. I've gotten information, but it's never been through direct lines at Alberta Health Services. So it's not anything I can factually rely on. But I know people in this region are obviously receiving it. And I know that we have the freezer in the region, and I know that people have been booking appointments who were on the list of those that qualify at this stage. So there's progress obviously being made, but given the delays, I'm concerned about how we're going to go forward, because these delays have impacted every community, including ours, I anticipate.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott, and before the break, we were talking about COVID-19, as well as council voting in favor of keeping the regional mask bylaw in place. If you're looking for more information about this, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, we have just a couple minutes left, so before I let you go, your meeting yesterday, you guys approved some changes when it comes to project accommodations, aka work camps, under the land use bylaw. So maybe just to start off with why these changes were brought in.
It really creates an administrative framework. So when camps are approved, there needs to be a framework that they can operate within. And we heard from OSCA, that's the Oil Sands Community Alliance. They represent a lot of the oil sands companies in this region. They were very in favor of it. And, it was discussed and at this time, I think it's fair to say that when camps are approved, you need an administrative framework, and that's why it was approved. The real issue for me has always been whether they should be approved, period. And that's why we had a debate about a year and a half ago whether there should be a moratorium. And I think everyone knows my feelings on that pretty strongly, and I expressed it again last night. I said that if you work in this region and earn money in this region, you should live in this region. Mm-hmm. And it would take a miracle for that view to get changed, and certainly I'm not seeing anyone even slightly change it in the years that I've lived here. There's, in my view, way too many camps.
What were some of the changes that that are going to be happening? The maximum permit was something that was discussed, extensions. Maybe it is for those who are just a little unsure. What kind of changes were made?
Yeah, there were several changes made. There was a five-year permit maximum, and then there can be an extension if applied for. We removed camps from about 30 land use areas, but really it's about being on the same page and having an administrative framework for camps as they go forward. As I've said, the real issue for me, and one thing I suggested last night, is if anybody's considering running in this election coming up, make it an election issue. If you're concerned about this issue, then talk to those who are running about it. It's something that you can still express your views, certainly, about it. And you can see the difference that electing people makes. That vote to have a moratorium went 5-5, and a tie vote in this region failed. So because it was a 5-5 vote, we had one counselor who didn't participate. The end result was there's no moratorium, so nothing changed. So if you're concerned about camps, make sure you get involved in the election in some way. And that's just another opportunity I'm going to take to remind everybody, the election's in October, you should consider running. Whether it's for mayor or council, there are positions available, and we need people who just care about this community and care about the future of this region. So I would encourage everybody to consider that. If you're passionate, this is a great opportunity to consider.
I know that you've shared your opinion about work camps. You also mentioned that the Oil Sands Community Alliance was in favor of these changes. So do you personally see this as a middle ground?
No, I think it's a collaboration at this time. We've taken lots of steps to support industry. An example was the motion that I brought last night about pipelines. It's really, if you're going to have camps, then you need to operate them under some sort of a framework that makes sense. And an example of some of the things we've done in the last year would be the $168 million tax cut. That affected everybody in the region, but that includes industry players as well. Now, this will give everyone a playing field that they understand and can operate within. And administration supported it. The Oil Sands Community Alliance supported it. So it's, in my view, it's not ideal to have camps, period. But if you're going to have them, you want to have some sensible approach to operating them. And this is going to provide that framework.
All right. Well, Don, that's pretty much all the time we have on today's show. But as always, we appreciate it every time you spare a couple of minutes of your time to come on.
So, yeah, thanks a lot. And to you and your viewers, please stay safe and take care, everyone.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.